Oh, gosh. I'll tell you. And that's legal all through Canada, right?
Well, it should be legal all around the world, like I said on my show, right? Whatever grows in the ground, you know, make your own decision on that. Whatever the laws are from the lobbies and the pharmaceutical companies, you know, throw that out. It's sabotage on our minds.
It's a racket.
Well,
I hear you.
No. Not
there
that I'm
go.
Sure that grass doesn't lead to something heavier. I'm not sure of that. Based on my life, I would say it does lead to
Sure.
Yeah, but you know, I got off a run, and that's why when I went public, I didn't hide anything. I told the exact honest truth in my book, the single honest truth, like the letters I've gotten from what you would consider, you know, superstars, but I would consider just friends of mine that happened after I happened, you know, like Pink Floyd's and that kind of stuff. It's just good to see it coming to fruition, and I hope we keep the battle going because we don't have a chance to lose again.
We're keeping it going. Ashley already has a book. It's called Pied Piper, Woodstock, and you can get that at Amazon. We'll let people know how to reach that with a link as well. You know, Artie, I just want to say that because you're an inspiration and that peace, love, and hope, I worked very hard. 2 years I spent trying to do the 20th anniversary of Woodstock here in New York, actually, in Central Park. In my life, Richie Havens came to me and said, let's celebrate the Woodstock peace love, what the good things that happened from that. I wasn't able to raise the money. I was given Central Park. I'm a former PBS, CBS guy. I was working at PBS, and I was PBS said they'll take the show. I couldn't raise the money. I ended up doing the 20th anniversary celebration in Times Square, which is where I do my Peace Day events, which I have been doing for many years. And I took one billboard. There was one billboard in Times Square back 30 years ago. And I put something that was a lunar eclipse. I'm also like you. I'm into all this peace, love, harmony. I'm a reverend, interfaith minister, yogi, musician. I only want to see the world be good, and my broadcast, what you're on right now, is called Good News Broadcast. All I'm about is sharing the good of humanity so my grandkids can see the fact is thousands and thousands and thousands. I'm stressed out from so much good news. So at this point now, 30 years later, and we videotaped. We got a couple hours of Juma came down, Sultan, and some rented a bus from the Woodstock area, Bethel, I mean. And we have some video, and we have putting some newer content. We're coming out with, we're calling it Woodstock Forever, Peace, Love, and Hope. And, to focus on that reality of what occurred at that momentous time in our lives, in addition to concerns about war, the concerns about love and peace and hope.
You change it to peace, love, and endeavor. I'm good at that shit. I'm a songwriter.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to come up with good titles, you know. No, my
titles
come out of love. They all come out of love, and because I had a purpose. Dead Man's Curve is not about a car race, which everybody thinks it is, but I wrote it. Even Brian Wilson said in Rolling Stone, Artie Kornfeld wrote all of Dead Man's Curve. And it wasn't even about a car race, you know. And the Council of the Rain in the Park is not even about the Rain in the Park and our production of Woodstock and the Pied Piper. You know, that song holds true, and that's why it's been a hit in Europe now since 1963. It's amazing.
Wow.
Number one 5 times.
Well, wow, that's great. Let me ask you,
I didn't do it. I just sat down with my writing partner at a piano with a guitar, and if we didn't have something in 45 minutes, we could stop, you know? But everything had a message, which is based how we started, was with a message, and then we figured out how to disguise it and make it really interesting to people so it would at least get into them because they weren't fighting it.
Right.
I hear you. Beautiful,
that's
beautiful.
Did I Love the Flower Girl instead of, if you're going to San Francisco with Flower in Your Hair or The Eve of Destruction, you know, I didn't put out one of those. And I wrote plenty of those. With Steve Dubois, Steve doesn't get enough credit for what he accomplished in our writing team. You know, but he was a dear friend of mine, and we used to play stickball together, you know. You know, we used to kill Charles Koppelman, the famous Charles Koppelman. He used to kill Charles because Dubois and I would beat him and Don Rubin when we played on the weekends. Charlie doesn't like to lose, as you could tell by his business records. And his chairman of the board of BMI, which I got him. When I took Tracy Chapman, number one, that was what broke it, because I didn't know at the time why it was so important, because I had never promoted a record other than Fast Car by Tracy Chapman, and that was a Charles Koppelman too. Charles was sort of like, he sort of guided my career, because he saw that of all the screen gems writers he had signed, that I was the one with the action. I was the one blessed that I enjoyed sitting down and coming up with a clever lyric or an honest lyric, you know. So it's like, besides, like I did with Bert Sumner, the song, we're all playing in the same band, right? And I didn't write it, I just produced it, and I had Bert for 5 years. And I told him he will have a gold record, and after he died, like, 2 years later, with all the action I had on my internet show, and I had 24 million hits in 5 years, just an hour a week, I played World Play in the same band so much that it now has 4 million legend plays at BMI.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Wow.
And it cracked me up, because I just wrote it about, well, I know what I wrote it about, and it's pretty hairy, so I don't really tell people what the song's all about. You know?
Yeah, but do.
Let me figure it out. There was good intent, and there was no lies.
Yeah. Yeah.
This man is a wealth of knowledge, Heidi.
You know, I know it.
God.
I know. No, I did not work for Michael Lang. You know, I love Michael. You know, I didn't talk to him after Woodstock 3 for 10 years. Huh?
Yes. Yeah, it's true.
Well, I sat around, and meanwhile, I was speaking 800 times for free to keep Woodstock alive and making the movie deal when no one could get it, because I wanted this dream to be available to the future generations.
That's the whole thing, especially for me.
The Woodstock Nation was bombing out, as far as I was concerned. Too many people, you know, it was... turn on, tune in, and and drop out, and that wasn't my thing. My thing was to tune in and stay there until you make change. You know?
There you go.
Exactly. That's my answer.
Sounds beautiful. All righty, let me ask both of you three last quick questions, okay, if you don't mind. Heidi, why don't I start with you? What does peace mean to you?
Peace means to me that beautiful love inside of myself that I am responsible for, that I continue to fill up, tune in, and take care of, so that I can be that peace embodied with my friends and family on this planet and take care of everyone as much as I possibly can.
Artie, what's peace mean to you?
I don't know. It's been every part of my life, because of my mother being one of the leading civil rights leaders, you know, in history. I've always been involved in that era. Peace to me means like the fact that I'm Jewish, but I must say to 20 Haitians and people from other countries that don't even speak English, I must say God bless you 25 times a day. You know, just to make the connection between people. You know,
I love it.
God bless you. They don't look at me as anything but the same as them.
Yay.
You got it. Artie, what's love mean to you? Artie, what does love mean to you?
Love means to me the love I had for my wife and daughter who died, and what I feel for Caroline right now. Mm-hmm. Love means to me is who did you help today?
Oh, you're so, what a mensch. You know the word mensch, right?
Verstehst. Isn't it funny, you're 140 years old and all of a sudden you haven't heard Yiddish since you were in the third grade in Brooklyn, and now that you're 66, I'm 76, that's even scarier. Now that I'm 76, I find that I'm talking Yiddish and I don't even remember hearing it. But I use it because it cracks me up.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. Heidi, what's love for you?
Love is the force field that we come from and are always connected to and are always a part of, and we can be together because of it.
Last question to both of you. Heidi, I'm gonna ask you, what does Woodstock mean for you?
Woodstock means another opportunity to connect what happened then to what's happening now to help save the world for our future generations.
All right. And Artie, in closing, and I thank you both very much. Artie,
well,
Funfeld,
Artie just said exactly why I did it, you know? I mean, that's why I did it. If I would have stayed at Capital one more year under contract, I would have been the president of Capital when I was 24.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So what can I tell you? You know, Heidi described my feelings pretty much to the T.
You know, all right.
I love you, Barnfield.
Make it better even following 12-step one day at a time. Make it better.
Yes.
Make it better 1 minute at a time.
One breath at a time. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I love you, Paul. I love you, Artie.
I love you both very much.
Yeah,
I'm so honored to have this.
It's really a pleasure, Paul.
It's a real inspiration.
Well,
I'm going to let you know how we're doing with our big project, the Woodstock Forever. I want to invite you to, when we get further along, we're going out a movie, hopefully a concert in Central Park and Times Square and a whole bunch of things, and I want to invite you both there. So, thank you.
Woodstock Ventures made the announcement that they were doing a concert in Central Park, and so I called Michael after seeing this announcement, and it was him and Joel and John without me there, and I said, Michael, let me ask you something, because I grew up in New York. I said, do you have a permit for Central Park, you know? And he said, no. I said, well, you named 32 of the top acts in the world. Do you have a deal with any one of them? He said, no. I said, let me ask you something. Why did you put out that press release saying that you have all this stuff and you're selling tickets? And he said, well, you know, even bad publicity is better than no publicity at all. So
oh,
I sat
boy.
Back for 35 years and led Woodstock Ventures and them. And anybody who worked, like if you ask Jane Freeman or Danny Goldberg, who started Air America, Danny Goldberg was on my staff in the Woodstock promotion department. There was only four of us, and it wasn't four of us. There was all of us, and you know what? We got 7 million people on the road, and I only went 10% over budget. You know, Michael went 200 and his budget was 250 to do it, and he spent $24 million. You know, but I love Michael, and it couldn't have happened without Michael and I and my late wife, Linda, because of the love that we had for each other and because of what we felt. Michael was the street connection, but I was the Brill Building writer and the Nashville writer and the L.A. writer that knew how to get thoughts across because we could read people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I love it.
We knew what they wanted to hear and then just presented in a way that wasn't offensive, but put them on board. Come on the ship, but there's plenty of room.
And so
beautiful.
We're right? We're going to continue on our oneness and taking care of each other. That's what we're here for.
Well, just remember, we're all playing in the same band. There's enough
Heaven
guitars
ship.
For you and me.
You
got it. We are all one,
thanks.
No doubt about it.
Yeah,
all right, guys, thank you. That was, that press release wasn't for next year, was it? That those guys put out? That's from years ago? For the Central Park?
No, this, the thing that they're trying to do.
Oh, they're trying to do something? Yeah.
No, the only thing that happened this year that was real is that Heidi was around, and on the 45th anniversary, without any advertising, I didn't let it, the 45th, I didn't let it get advertised, and Bethel Woods hated me because I'm the one who stopped them from building on the field. You know, it was a speech I made on radio that it prevented them from building on the field, and so they were angry at me. But they came together. We got a 70-foot screen, and it was drizzling, and there was about 3,000 kids that showed up. And when it was over, I was watching, and I had never got to see Woodstock. So all of a sudden, I'm with some friends of mine from Facebook, actually, in the drizzle, and I said, "Oh my God. Look what this is. This is a miracle. This is
miracle."
It blew my mind because I had never over 45 years, I had never got to see it, you know. Seeing it as one of the people in the crowd blew my mind, and I knew I saw a guy look like me walking in and out of scenes and stuff, but stabbed me back. And you mentioned Richie, because Richie, you know, I got Richie his lawyer, Paul Marshall, 10 years before Woodstock. So I loved Richie Havens, you know, one of my favorite people in life. And what can I tell you, you know, you do what you got to do, you know, and you know what? All we got to do is stand for what we believe in. Honestly, just live in truth, and don't get bored out by those people that we're putting down.
I can't wait till you hear what Richie has to say on the 20th anniversary. I'm going to send you a link to the sizzle reel from just his 20th anniversary conversation in the group that came down. You and him are one, as like Heidi and all of us. You know, it is what it is. You either understand it, that we're all one, or it's a little confusion in life. You're not.
Yeah.
Somehow you don't think you're a Homo sapien. No.
That was my first title, Woodstock. We are one.
We are one? Okay.
I
love it. When I found that out, I was like, oh, yay, total alignment.
Yeah, right. This is true. And like I say, you won't come back from Dead Man's Curve.
All righty. This is beautiful.
For a Woodstock. What the heck?
This is beautiful.
We're all the Pied Pipers of Woodstock.
This is part one. Part one, talking to you two together. And part two will be soon. All right? And we'll just keep it up. And let's for the betterment of this world, have big success with the 50th, getting the word out, how important the 50th means, the peace, love. And I couldn't sell the 20th anniversary. I couldn't give the one Times Square ball where they dropped the ball. I couldn't give it away for $150. I couldn't give away anything to McDonald's, the big companies, because they were all afraid of Woodstock. 2 years of my life, and with a whole team
Warner
that quit
Brothers,
Channel 13.
You know that I made the deal 4 days before the concert for the movie to get the money.
No, I don't know.
And, yeah, that's just what happened. When I was running Mercury Records, Freddie Weintraub, who owned the bitter end, you know, brought me Leon Bibb, and it was the first time that Suzanne was ever cut on an album, Leonard Cohen's Suzanne. And,
right.
I've lived the anniversary of Woodstock, the negative and the positive, every single day for the last, 50 years.
50 years. I know that. Well, we're going to focus on the good side, the peace, love, and hope, which it all was good, but we're focusing on show. And my grandkids love it. I'm telling you, they understand it. And many kids.
We're talking about it now. We're carrying the ball, you know.
100%.
Get it over to you. Yeah, someone's got to get it over the goal line, right?
Well, we're all in it together.
We're working on
abreast.
It. We're all
okay. I'm keeping you both abreast of what
we're
at it.
In the same band.
There you go. I'm on it every day.
Hey.
Okay, we got it together, brother.
Hey, to some
thanks,
some
Paul.
People, God bless you. To other people, be gazin. or namaste, if you want to reach a little.
Okay, Om Shanti Om. All right.
Thank you so much.
Bless you guys.
And how about let's give the Native American Indian. What would they say?
You don't want me to do my half Torah?
Not the half Torah. You've been bar mitzvahed already, Artie.
You know what?
Yes, maybe.
I'm a coin number one. I was born at the stroke of midnight in 1942, and I'm a coin number one. There's only 100 in the world.
Yes, that's the revered a handle, as I'll call it.
Yeah, and I've always had that gift that comes with being a coin number one. You know,
Heidi, that's big time for him to be that. I'm telling you, in the Jewish religion.
Yeah,
no, This is it. We're coming together. We get another shot.
Oh yeah.
And
well, I'm direct descendant of the Grand Rabbi of Russia.
Oh.
Nice.
But you know what? I'm playing. We're all playing with the same glands.
We are. And my dad was born in a place called Williamsburg, and my mother-in-law, my former wife, and I think you know those names of where that place is, right?
Of course, because Caroline, who I've been with for 16 years, her family was from Williamsburg.
Yes.
And Brownsville, that area.
That's
yeah.
The whole thing. So we're all in the same
I know,
the same area.
I was in Bensonhurst, and we had our own little mafia Jewish thing going on.
There you go. That's so you can see the Verrazano Bridge.
And all I knew was if I went to the park on Bay Parkway in Bensonhurst, don't go to this corner because that's where Paulie Jewboy was. And they started Corvettes. They were all Corvette veterans, and they were all tough guys. And they started Corvettes and got very successful, and I guess, like a lot of people who get successful quick, they got fucked up, you know. And I know I've been there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm glad I've been there because so now I could continue my quest to get people back into music, give bands a chance to be heard again, and give ourselves a chance to be heard through our music and our rhetoric, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way we feel it should be, and the way we feel it should be is the right way.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agree.
We got it.
I love you. I love you guys.
I love you as well, both.
Love you, Paul.
So thank you.
Thanks so much for having us on your show, Paul.
What an honor. This is my lucky day. Thank you.
No, it's my honor, too. So, and wagon train finally ended, so I got an escape.
And
Cheyenne just came on, and then comes the Virginian. So, what the?
There you go. All right, go
I
enjoy.
Never watched when I was a kid. Hey.
Go enjoy. Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Bye, okay, my friend. Bye, bye. Thank you.